It's wonderful to be back. One of the great honors of my life is to have discovered you and for you to invite me. Thank you, Pastor Sam. Is thrilled to be here, and I want to be a blessing and trust that on this Easter, God will give a word that will make a difference in our lives. I want to read to you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us?" Looking up, they noticed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he told them. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this, his most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place in order that their perception of what is said will be received as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Help me to be very, very clear, very, very simple. And grant that this will be a life-changing word and a word that brings great honor and glory to your name. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who will roll away the stone? That was a question raised on Easter morning, because a couple days before, on Good Friday, Jesus had died on the cross. And they put him in a tomb that was given to them by Joseph of Arimathea. Three women knew that there was a very large stone that covered the tomb. And they expected to get inside the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. And then just before they get to the tomb, they ask, "Oh dear, who will roll away the stone?" A question they asked right at the last minute. Well, it was a question asked by the women to see, because Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome were here. By the way, where were the men? No man came to the tomb. They should have. The 12 disciples have been told that Jesus will be raised from the dead. They should be here to see what is going on. And then I couldn't help but wonder whether these three women, in some way, 72% women. And I gather that in Hong Kong, much like in America. Well, who will roll away the stone? That's the question they ask at the last minute. Well, it's a reasonable question, a good thing to ask, a fair question, done out of loyalty for their Lord. A very large stone had put there. If you have occasion to go to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, you can see how big the stone was. No two or three women could deal with it. It was a panicky question. Good to ask, but now they're panicky. What are we going to do? Why would they think at the last minute? It was a reasonable question, a good question to ask. They were hoping to get inside the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. You could say it was a redundant question because the body of Jesus had already been anointed several days before when they had the jar of the alabaster and it was poured over Jesus. And Jesus himself said, "This is anointed in advance for my burial." And so now they come. And they should have asked this question before. They should have recruited some men to go with them. So it's a necessary question. Nonetheless, they're there, and they want to get inside the tomb. But lo and behold, here's the point I want to make today. It was a needless question, because when they arrived at the tomb, lo and behold, the stone was already rolled away. One day I traveled a lonesome road over the hills of despair. One day I carried a heavy load, cumbered with toil and with care. The burden that once I carried is gone, of all of the sins that remaineth, not one, not one. Jesus the Savior has ransomed me, bearing my sins upon Calvary, giving me glorious liberty, my burden of sin is gone. They carried a heavy burden that Easter morning. Who will roll away the stone? It was a burden, by the way, that God did not put there. They thought it was their responsibility, because they wanted to anoint the body of Jesus. It was a burden that God did not want them to have. After all, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." It was a burden that led to anxiety. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, "Do not fret. It only leads to evil." And this is what was going on Easter morning. Suddenly, they're anxious, they're burdened. And it was a burden beyond their ability to cope with, and only God could handle. Have you come this Easter morning with a burden? Are you full of anxiety? God doesn't want you to have anxiety. It was a burden beyond their ability, and yet it was a burden that God had already dealt with. What they could not have done, rolling away the stone, in any case, was already dealt with. It's impossible for them. But God stepped in before they arrived at the tomb. I want to talk about two things today. First, the achievement of the cross. and the achievement of the resurrection. Why did Jesus die on the cross? The answer is to achieve that which is not possible for us to do. If I could repeat what I said Good Friday, the most stupendous statement Jesus ever made, Matthew 5:17, early in the Sermon on the Mount, early in his ministry, he said, "I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." Nobody would ever make a claim like this. Nobody had ever done it. And Jesus said, "I will do it." That meant that he would keep all 2,000 pieces of Mosaic legislation. And so, these three women, they were trying to keep the law. They waited till the Sabbath was over before they would go to the tomb. And so, what is it that they could not do? What is it that you and I cannot do? And that is to keep the law, if I may repeat it, in thought, word, and deed. That means including all the Ten Commandments in thought, word, and deed. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, every day of our lives. That's what's required of you. And you think, how can I do it? You can't. It was just as senseless as the women trying to roll away the stone. It's something Jesus has already done for you. And so when he said on Good Friday, "It is finished," it was accomplished. As he said in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And so, like the huge stone being rolled away, Jesus did for them on the cross on Good Friday what they could not have done. In a word, rolling the stone away was something they couldn't do. Rolling the stone away is what only God could do. And finishing a life without sin is something no one had ever accomplished. But when Jesus uttered the words a moment before he died, "It is finished," it's the English translation of a Greek word, tetelestai. Tetelestai happened also to be a colloquial expression in the ancient marketplace that meant paid in full. So when you paid your bill, they would stamp tetelestai. Whenever you bought something, they would stamp tetelestai, paid in full. And the last thing Jesus said before he died, "It is finished." It was not only the end of the ordeal he was going through, but he accomplished the work God sent him to do. What was the achievement of the resurrection? It proved that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. Have you ever thought what it would mean if the three women, they get to the tomb, the stone has not been rolled away, and inside the tomb is the corpse of Jesus? That would mean that Jesus died like any other man. It meant that Jesus was not the Son of God. It meant that all the teachings of Jesus can now be disregarded. All that he taught about heaven, forget about it. All that he taught about hell, don't need to worry. The corpse of Jesus shows that everything he stood for was a farce. He was a failure. Can I say something? If there is somebody here, you're not a Christian, and you have no intention of ever being a Christian, you know what you should hope for if you plan never, ever to be a Christian? You know what you should hope for today? You should hope that the corpse of Jesus remained in that tomb. You should hope that he died but was not raised from the dead. You should hope that everything he taught is no good. But the bad news for you is, if you're not saved, and you don't intend to be, when Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome got to the tomb, behold, the stone was rolled away, and no one was in that tomb. And it meant a vindication of everything Jesus taught. It was a vindication that Jesus was the eternal Son of God. It was a vindication of everything he taught, from the Sermon on the Mount to all of his talk with the Pharisees and all that he taught about heaven and hell. What is the purpose of life? Why are you alive? Why are you here? What's the purpose? I can tell you. You see, God made you. You're made in the image of God. As St. Augustine put it, our hearts pant for you. We're restless until we find our rest in God. Why are you here? Do you realize that one day you're going to die? You're going to die. There's one verse in the Bible everybody would agree with. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for man once to die. And when you die, you will die alone. You may have friends at your bedside, but you will die alone. Have you thought about it? You know, I have many books that I hope still to write. There's a book I want to write. I want to call it The Big Elephant. You've heard the expression, the elephant in the room? Everybody knows about it, but they don't talk about it. The big elephant. We know we're going to die, but we don't talk about it. Not to your friends, not on TV shows, not on talk shows. We don't talk about it. But you see, Easter is a reminder that there's life beyond the grave. And Easter is a reminder that Jesus is the Son of God, that all he believed and all that he taught is true. And so if you're not a Christian and you don't intend to be, let's say you're an atheist and you're counting on this, then you better hope that Jesus was never raised from the dead. That would be your hope. You better pray on this Easter morning that Jesus was still in the tomb. But lo and behold, Mary Magdalene, one of his great converts, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils, Mary the mother of James, who by the way happened also to be the mother of Jesus, it just says mother of James, but James and Jesus were half brothers, and Salome. Lo and behold, the tomb was empty, and the stone was already rolled away. By the way, this moment also showed that Satan's plan had been destroyed. You may know that it's a theological debate, it's a political debate, who crucified Jesus. Well, the Jews today don't want to say that we did it. They want to say the Romans did it. The Romans want to say the Jews did it. And it becomes a political issue. But you may not know this, but Satan said, I did it. Satan wanted to get the credit because he was the architect of the whole deal. This is why Judas Iscariot was demon-possessed. Satan entered Judas, and all that was going on was part of the architectural blueprint of Satan to kill Jesus, to have him crucified. And yet, when in hell they realized that this Jesus was raised from the dead, it was the most horrible news they could have. This they weren't counting on. In fact, as it is put, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, they would not have done this. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they known what was going on. Because God is the one that raised Jesus from the dead. And by the way, there's one other participant in who crucified Jesus. Are you aware that you did it? I did it. In evil long I took delight, unawed by sin and death, until I saw this sight. And he said to me, behold, I leave. And as it is put, I saw my sins, his blood had spilt. You see, this is the thing. Once we are converted by the Holy Spirit, we're made to see it was our sin that put him on the cross. Have you any idea how much Jesus suffered? The pain, the worst knowable pain of punishment in the history of the world, what Jesus went through, then to realize it was my sin that put him on the cross. But lo and behold, they came to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. Before I close, I want to point out there are two theological words that demonstrate the cross and the resurrection. Charles Spurgeon said there is no gospel without these two words, substitution and satisfaction. Get these two words in your theological vocabulary. Substitution. What does that mean? That means that Jesus died as our substitute. He fulfilled the law. He was circumcised the eighth day. That's what his parents did. And then he was baptized for us. And then he kept the law for us. He was sinless for us. He was our substitute. So that when the time comes that we realize what we've done, and we transfer the hope that we've had in our good works to what Jesus did for us on the cross, his perfect life is put to our credit as though we had never sinned. He was our substitute, and yet he was our satisfaction. Because what happened on Good Friday at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when Jesus uttered the words, tetelestai, paid in full, in that moment, our sins were transferred to Jesus. His perfect life is transferred to us. And so we can sing the hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And could I repeat one more time? The fires of hell and the blood of Jesus go together. Why did Jesus teach eternal punishment? It's so sad that this plain teaching of Jesus is completely neglected today by most Christians. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. And why must it be eternal? Why can't it be annihilation like some teach? Because it's more attractive. But that's not what the Bible teaches. You see, the fires of hell do not satisfy the justice and the wrath of God. That is one reason they go on forever, crying out for justice, but they don't get justice. But you should know the good news. One drop of the blood of Jesus completely satisfies his justice. And when you transfer the hope that you have into what Jesus did for you, you're given a pardon, and now you're saved not by how good you are, but by how good he was. And he's transferred your credit. Do you know for sure? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Do you know that? And if you were to stand before God, you will. And if he were to ask you, he might. Why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Suppose that as you came in today, you were passed out sheets of paper. Suppose as you walk in, you're given a sheet of paper, and everybody here, you've got a sheet of paper, and go along with me, as if you had this sheet of paper in front of you, and I want you to write down on that sheet of paper what you would say to God if he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? Start writing. By the way, the longer you need, the worse shape you're in. And the more you write, the worse shape you're in. But write down what you would say. Now pass your sheets of paper to the end, and ushers come and bring them all to me. And I've got sheets of paper. Do you mind if I read you some of the answers? Well, here's one who says, I have lived a good life. I would say, I'm sorry, but you're lost. Here's another. I was brought up in a Christian home. Congratulations, but that won't save you. Here's another. I was baptized. Sorry, that won't save you. Here's another. I was baptized by a Baptist preacher. You're lost as a goose. Here's another. I have tried my very best. I'm having to say, I'm sorry, but that won't save you. You say, but RT, what more can we do than our very best? The thing, when you ask that question, you've missed the reason God sent his son into the world. Because if you could get to heaven because you're doing your very best, there would have been no need for God to send Jesus into the world to die on a cross and be raised from the dead. You see, your very best would come short of the glory of God. Your very best, you would still have evil thoughts, jealousy, lust, hate, unforgiveness. But when you realize Jesus lived the perfect life, he never sinned. If you did not write on that sheet of paper, because Jesus died, or the equivalent, because he shed his blood, if you did not write that on your sheet of paper, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for anything in the world. But that can all change. This can be a day of days for you. Because if you did not say, I'm trusting the death of Jesus, the equivalent, that can all change. I'm going to give you a prayer to pray right now. You don't need to say it out loud, but say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash my sins away by your blood. I invite your Holy Spirit into my heart. As best as I know how, I give you my life. That's the prayer. Did you pray that prayer? Are you ashamed that you prayed that prayer? Why do you ask, RT? Because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus said, if you will confess me, I will confess you. I'm going to ask you to do something right now that may take a little bit of courage. But if you prayed that prayer and are not ashamed of it, in the next 10 seconds, I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you are. In front of all these people? Yep. It will show you're not ashamed. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you prayed that prayer, stand to your feet right now. Good. 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 And remain standing. I'll wait just a few seconds. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment. This is the greatest Easter you'll ever had. Now, chances are, some of you that are standing were saved before today. I can accept that. But I just want to say this. If you have never confessed Christ openly like this before, never prayed a prayer like that, do you know what just happened to you on this Easter day? You've just been born again. Happy birthday. You can be seated. The three women, panicking, behold, the stone was already rolled away. Happy Easter. God bless you.
Amen. Let's rise to our feet and let's just conclude our service by offering our worship and our praise to our Lord. Really big happy birthday to anyone if that was your first time. Right, please tell somebody of your decision. And let's learn to walk together following Him.
The
Father, we come humbly before you, God. Thank you that you're alive, God. that you're living, Lord. You're around us. You're in us, God. Thank you for your presence, Lord, that surrounds us, Lord God. I know some of us are going through difficult times, Lord. There's health issues, God. There's issues at work. There's issues in the family, God. Things happening with our finances, with our health. But Lord, we come and we thank you that you are alive. God, that you died for so much more, God, than what we're living for right now. And so we come and say, help us, Lord. Send us your Spirit, God. Come, Holy Spirit. If you're going through something and you just need to be reminded that God is alive, just take a moment. Just invite the Holy Spirit into that situation right now. Whatever's going on, just invite him into that space. I'll just pause for a moment to allow you to do that. Welcome you, God, into the circumstances of our life because you are alive. You're not rotting in some grave, God. You are alive. Lord, you said, my Father is working until not even I myself am working. Lord, even though we don't see it, God, you're doing something. So thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter, everyone. If you need any prayer, please come up to the front. Our well ministers will pray for you. Please, if you want to read one of RT's books, he's here. He'd love to sign a copy for you, right? He'd love to bless you. God, have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.